Certainly a privilege to be here this morning, to look out in the audience and see all of you here. We appreciate your presence among us, especially those that are visiting with us, and we invite you back anytime you have the opportunity to be with us at our services here at Market Street. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you take them and turn to James chapter 1, we'll look there in just a moment as we begin our lesson together. Do we pray with expectation that God will be there to hear our prayer, to answer it? If only one knew of the things God has done because of the prayers of people, the good that has been accomplished, I believe we would be surprised. But I think oftentimes what we do is we get in life, and we get rolling through life, and trials come, situations come in life, things are not as good as we would like for them to be. And so what we do is we kind of lose sight. We kind of forget that God's there and listening to us and hearing our prayers. We begin to step back and think, well, I don't know that really anybody cares. And we think we've got it all by ourselves. But the fact of the matter is that's just not true. That's not true. As a matter of fact, God does hear our prayers. God does care about us. And God is always there. And I think this morning I want to talk with you about the idea that prayer avails much. You're in James chapter 1. Let's just begin. Look with me in James chapter 1. Look with me in verse 5. Where here he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And he that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. See, the prayer that we have is a prayer that ought to be of faith, of one who believes that God is going to hear. And that you ask without wavering. And if I'm sitting there and I'm praying to God and I'm praying, I'm saying, well, I hope God hears me. I wonder if he's listening. Then we're wavering in our prayers. We don't need to do that, James says. Then if you will, turn over to the fourth chapter. We'll turn over to the fourth chapter and we look at verse 8. And this is what it says. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. You need to draw near to God. How are you going to do that? Well, one way you're going to do it is you're going to read God's word. I agree with that. And the other way you do that is you pray. You talk to God. You have a relationship with him. It's one that you don't just put on the side and say, okay, that's a Sunday thing to do. That's not just a Sunday thing. For the Christian, a relationship with God is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's not just Sunday. It's not just Wednesday night. It's not just during gospel meeting. It is all the time. And we need to remember that. And we need to remember that we have a relationship with him every day. He is always there, and we need to talk to him. I tell you what, one of the best times to talk to God, I've learned, is when you're driving in the car. There's a lot of people out there that are driving that need prayer. And I need to pray for myself to handle those situations right. But there's a time which you're sitting in a car, maybe, and in my case, most of the time, by myself. And I can do one thing. I can turn on the radio and I can listen to something that's going on in the world, which really is probably going to bring me down. Or I can listen to scripture being read or sermons, or I can talk to God. I want to tell you what, that's the best thing to do is talk to God and listen to his word being read. I want to tell you, that's what I need to be doing. I need to be drawing near to God, and he'll draw nigh to me. Then over in chapter 5 in verse 16, he says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Here's the lesson. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. For a few moments, I want you to consider the idea of how prayer avails much. And the prayer works in the life of a Christian. And we need to get that. We need to understand that prayer works in the life of a Christian. Jesus testified to the idea of the power and the effectiveness of prayer. If you want to take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Notice with me what Jesus says here. This is in the Sermon on the Mount as he is teaching his disciples. And this is what he says beginning in verse 7 we read, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man of you is there among you whom if his son ask bread will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" You know, we're going to God in prayer. And what Jesus says here in the Sermon on the Mount is that when you're asking God, he's going to be ready to hear. And he's going to be ready to give you what is good. He's ready to do that for you because you are his children. And then he uses the illustration. There's men of us who live, and our children come, and they ask us and make a request of us. And what do? Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe our problem is that we're not like God. We're not one who does not upbraid. We are not one who is ready to give when they are requested something that is legitimate. Maybe we sit there and we say, "What do you mean coming to me and asking me this? Why are you bothering me with this problem you've got? You take care of your own problem." I'll tell you what, maybe sometimes our problem is that we begin to think of God kind of like we see ourselves. And we don't need to make God like us. We need to make us like God. That's what we're striving to do. And so when we go to God, we're asking God something, and he wants to give it to us. But understand now, we make sure that we're in keeping with his will and that we're trusting him and we recognize his authority in all things. All that has to be in place. But Jesus says, if you're of his children and you ask and you seek and you knock, what, you're going to get it. God wants to give it to you. And he can. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, this is what he says as he is talking about that they would grow, that they would be rooted, verse 17, grounded, that they would be able to grow to the point that comprehending with all saints the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. Verse 19 in chapter 3, he says that they might know the love of Christ which passeth all knowledge, and they might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God can do it. And you know, we need to realize that God can do it. There are lots of things that come in my life that I just don't know that I can handle. I can't handle, just to be honest with you, I can't handle. And I need to realize that there's somebody who can handle those things. When I can't handle, somebody can. God can handle them. And God wants to handle them. But you know what our problem is that we there again don't have that confidence. Oftentimes we don't have that kind of boldness to come before the Lord. Because as we may see God like us, and we realize that we don't want to be upbraided for what we're asking for. And so we don't. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, look with me what the Hebrew writer says here. He says in verse 16, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of his grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. He says we ought to come boldly. You know, we don't need to shrink back from coming before the throne of his grace. We need to come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? We should have confidence when we come before him. We ought to not be doubting and wavering and concerned. No, we ought to understand God wants to. We ought to have confidence. And in the idea of this, I'm reminded again over in chapter 10, verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. Do you see that? Of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled with evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. You know, here's the idea, is that we need to be coming with confidence, assurance, as we serve the Lord. And then there we have that. The promise of James, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. You know, prayer works for the Christian. Prayer works for the Christian, but you know, we've got to go to it. We've got to get involved with it. We've got to begin to be prayers. We've got to begin to have our prayer rooms, if you will. The movie that came out every year, and the lady set up just a little portion of her cubby hole of her house, and it was her war room. Any of you saw the movie? And that's where she went in, she prayed. Had all the list of who she is praying for, what she is praying for. You know, maybe that's our problem. We don't take enough time, enough attention to have a place, have a closet to where you can just go in there and you can just talk to God. You've got a problem. And you say, but you know what? I have a problem today, and I got another problem tomorrow, and I got another problem next day. And before a week's gone, I've forgotten all about all the problems I've got back. That's right. But are you praying about them? Now, that's why you ought to forget about it, because you prayed about them and you're leaving it to God. We need to understand the prayer of a righteous man avails much. We can believe then that we're talking about a prayer, though. Let me just stop and say this. We're talking about a prayer that is sincere, that is hearty, that is persevering, that is heartfelt. I'm not talking about a prayer that is long. I'm not talking about a prayer who's got all the right phrases. Now, that's, I think, what we talk about prayer a lot of times, and we want to make sure we got the right phrases, we sound right, we sound good. And every time I think about that, I think about the story of the orator who was brought in to read the 23rd Psalm. And he got up there and he read the 23rd Psalm and did such a magnificent job as he was able to pronounce all the words with such clarity of mind. And people, when they got through, they applauded the hearing of the word as they had heard read. They'd heard a performance. Then an old farmer that was there, and he got up and he read the 23rd Psalm. And people were moved to tears as he read that psalm. And somebody asked in the audience, what was the difference? He said, the second man knew the shepherd. You see, we need to talk to God like we know him. We need to talk to God as though we know him. We don't need to talk to him as though he's something out there we're not real familiar with. We need to talk to God like we know him. The Christian, the prayer works for him, and we need to know that, and we need to talk to God on a regular basis, because prayer elevates our spirits, because it reminds us that God is in control. That's what prayer does. When I go to God in prayer, I'm going and I'm saying, you know what? God, you're in control. I can't handle this. I know I can't handle it, and I need your help. Only you are the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Not me. It's our source of hope. Well, turn over with me to the Psalms. I'm turning to Psalm 34. I'm looking at Psalm 34. Look with me in verse 15 as we begin to look at some thoughts here in the Psalms about prayer and its source of hope for us, is it elevates our spirits and realizing who really is in control of life. Verse 15, it says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are opened unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, the Lord heareth and delivered them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto all them with a broken heart, and saveth such of a contrite spirit. There are many afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. You know, what a source of comfort that we have. The psalmist reminds us of who God is and what God does for us. As we're going through life and we're downtrodden and we're going through life and we're worried and we're coping with life as it comes to us, that God is there for us. Then I turn over to the 86th Psalm, turning to Psalm 86. As I turn to Psalm 86, I'm looking at verse 7. Psalm 86 and verse 7. It says, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Thou wilt answer me. Then I'm turning over to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Psalm 118, I'm looking at verse 1 beginning. Psalm 118, begin reading in verse 1. It says, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say his mercy endureth forever. Let them now say that he that fear the Lord, that his mercy endureth forever. I call upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my right, on my side, and I will not fear what man can do to me. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my right side. He is there with me. Why? His mercy endureth. So get that. His mercy endureth. You know, what a blessing it is to go to God in prayer and go in. We're going in life and we're going through times of trouble. And what? He lifts our spirits and we remember, really, it's not about me. It's about God. He's the one who's in control. He's the one who holds it all within his hands. Then turn to Psalm 145, the last one, Psalm 145. Look with me at verse 18 beginning. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh to all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will hear their cry and he will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. You know, it's hope. There's hope for us. You know, we go through life and oftentimes we get so busy with life, we can't see beyond it. But when we go to God in prayer, we're remembering there's something beyond here. Prayer is the key. Let us come boldly again to the throne of his grace, that we may find a help in the time of need. You know, that's what we need to do. God's in control. There are lots of things in life we can't control. We can't control what happens in Washington. We can't control what happens in Montgomery. As a matter of fact, we can't control what happens in Athens, Alabama. But there's one who can. There's one who can control it all. There's one who holds it all within the palm of his hand, and we've got access to him. You know, if all of us said, well, you know what? You're going to get to go have a meeting with the president. The president wants you to come meet with him. I would like to see a show of hands. How many in here would just say, I refuse to go to meet with the president? I don't see anybody. Because what? Well, we'd all say, well, yes, the President of the United States, I get to go sit down and talk to him. Here's the most powerful man in the world. He's over the free world, and here I get to go have an audience with him. I get to be there and talk with him. Boy, I'm going to go. And you know what? The President will come, and people won't even have a chance to talk to him. And they will throng the lines, the road to see him. I remember when Jimmy Carter came to Tuscumbia when I was in high school, or junior high, I guess it was. And he came and he was starting his campaign over there. And the roads lined up with people as they went by. And all they would do is go by and he would wave. And I remember being right there on the route and I was standing. There was the road and the cars were, and he was right there, probably as close as Marty was to me. And I was waving. I waved at him. He waved at me. Now, I don't know if he saw me or not, but he waved over there at me. That's the closest I've ever been to a president. He wasn't president. Well, I guess he was president at that time. It was his 80 campaign, wasn't it? Yeah. God wants to talk to us. God wants us in his audience. And we can go any time of any day. Do we do it? Do we go to God? Do we talk to him? Do we get his audience? Do we realize he's in control? We can talk to him at any time about any problem, and he can take care of it. I want to tell you, the president can't take care of everything. His hands are tied about a lot of things. And if he could, he might not want to do the things I want him to do. He might not want to do the things that are right, but I guarantee you God will do what's right. God will do what's just. God will do what's holy. And I can talk to God. Lastly, we need to remember that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. We've already read that, haven't we? We've already read that there in the Psalms. But 1 Peter chapter 3 is where I'm going to, where this is again is quoted by Peter, and he's quoting this to Christians as he's reminding them of the fact that, you know, here we have a God who does care for us in life. He does care for us about life. We don't go through life, and he doesn't care about us at all. As a matter of fact, in 1 Peter chapter 3, he says in verse 8, "Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, as love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." And that is really be pitiful, be compassionate. That's the idea there. "Not rendering evil for evil, but railing for railing, on contrary wise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and eschew it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them which do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good?" That's right. Who is it that will harm you? Well, you say, well, man might harm me. You know, somebody might come in this building and say, "I'm going to take out Christians. So I'm going to Market Street. I'm going to walk in that door and I'm going to shoot everybody up." That would be bad. That would be terrible. I would hate that to happen. But man can take my life. He can take my physical life. But he can't take me away from God. And if I'm one of God's children, I need to see that. And I need to live my life like that. And you know what? I need to live today so that I'm ready to go. Somebody walks in here and says, "Okay, the preacher's first." Well, y'all can shoot out the back door. I guess the preacher go first. That'll be okay. That'll be okay. Because really, what can they do to me? They can take my physical life. I still have a home in heaven. I still have a relationship with God. I still have a place that I'm going that has no tears, no sorrow, no pain. Nobody's going to shoot me there. Why do I fear men? Maybe it's because we have a lack of trust in God. We don't trust him like we should. We pray to God and we ask God to take care of us. He's going to take care of us. You know what? Doesn't mean we're going to never have calamity happen. Doesn't mean things are not going to ever happen. Yes, they're going to happen to us because that's life. But what a comfort and what a joy to know that the Lord is looking down upon us and he cares for us and that he does, and he's going to supply all of our wants and needs because our God is alive. He cares about us. He's going to take care of us. He's going to supply me with everything I need. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 tells us. And so what I need to do is I need to be ready to do what he says, to talk to him, to make sure that I'm in a relationship with him that I ought to have. And then I need to cast my care upon him, because he cares for me. Let him direct my paths. And where he leads me, I'm going to follow. And I'm going to be the kind of person I should be. Because I'm going to be a person who understands prayer avails much. And that's what it does for one who follows in the path that he leads us in. It may be that you're here this morning, you're not a member of the body of Christ. You need to be led in the path that he leads you in. And then he's leading you through his word. He's directed you in his word. There's nothing here that is in this word that he's left out that you need to do. It's not like there's some secret something out there that you've got to figure out for yourself. No, he's given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given it to you. He's given it to me. He's given it to everybody equally. And now the opportunity is yours to say, I'm going to do what the Bible tells me to do. I'm going to do what God's word tells me to do. This morning, if you'll come in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ, Son of God, to be buried with him in baptism, become a child of God, putting your faith and trust in him in everything you do, and recognizing that you have that relationship with him, that you can talk to him about any problem, anytime, and you'll trust him to the very end, and you can have that home. That Jesus says, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am there you may be also. You'll have that hope. Can we assist you tonight, this morning, in having that relationship and having that hope? Let us know how we can help you. While we stand and sing, won't you come?